A guy went to the doctor because he said that everything hurt. Just everything hurt. He would touch his head, ouch! He would touch his shoulder, ouch! Then he would touch his knee, ouch! The doctor said, wait, stop. Let me order up some expensive tests and we'll see if we can't figure out what's going on. And then a little while later he came back and said, well, I understand your problem. You have a broken finger. Oh, I think I've told versions of that one before. But it could be that today you're here with a broken finger or something else, a broken heart, something that has been for you the cause of dis-ease. Now, it may be that your particular dis-ease is one that is obvious and clear to the naked eye, that it's perceivable in you and in your person. But the truth is, more likely, your particular dis-ease today is, well, less obvious, is not seen, not visible to the naked eye. Maybe one born of blood, maybe one born of brain, maybe one born of experience. I don't know. But are you hurting today? Is there something broken? I suppose the truth is, for some of us, it's an addiction. For some of us, it is an emotional or a sort of painful psychic trauma that we carry. For others, it's just the ongoing reality that we live with people who hurt us. I don't know what it is, but you do. Maybe an old problem or a new problem, something that can be controlled with meds or something you just sort of manage. Maybe something not even the doc knows about. What is it that hurts in you today? And how long have you carried it around? Luke writes that Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. Luke doesn't tell us her name. Jesus goes on a little bit later in the reading. He calls her a daughter of Abraham, and there's a kind of a dignity in that, I suppose. But like so many of the women described in the Gospels, indeed described in the whole of the Bible, there just aren't names. We don't have much to go on. We don't know where they're from or what they were like. Well, there are a few times when women get that benefit, that blessing. There's Priscilla and Miriam. There's Martha and Dorcas. Yeah, a few of them we know. But most of the time, oh, Luke, you could have told us. Maybe some would say, Luke, you should have told us. But like others, you wrote from within your own perspective. You wrote from within your own conventions of your own time. And maybe her name was Nancy or Pam or Susan or Marilyn. Maybe it was Debbie. Maybe she shares a name with all of us. Maybe she is us. Jesus was teaching one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years, and she was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. Bent over. Distorted posture, sort of crooked in person. I don't know. Was that about like that? Or like that? How did that look? Was it some progressive thing that got worse with each passing year? What happens to a person who has that kind of malady and that kind of condition? What happens to their social relationships and their connections with others? Is there consequence in groups? 18 years of soreness and stiffness. Hard to get around. Hard to get dressed. Hard to get the dishes done. Hard to get out of bed. 18 years. 18 years of not being able to look others in the eye, not being able to offer a hug or share a kiss, left out, and passed over. Day in and day out, left to fend for herself for a long, long time. I suppose it's helpful for us to remember that at that time, in that culture, in that system, that ailments would have been understood to be the result of demons, or would have been understood as the result of someone's sin before God, some secret disorder in their life. People would have looked at her with suspicion. People would have looked at this woman with judgment. And maybe when they thought they weren't being heard, well, what did she do to deserve that? Of course, it never happens like that now. We don't act that way at all. But over and quite bent over and quite unable to stand up straight, unable to assert herself in community, unable to change her circumstances or relate to her peers. On Facebook, I'm friends with Pope Francis. Well, I don't know if that's exactly true, but you know what I mean. I mean, you can click on there and the Vatican has posted something and it ends up on YouTube or is it a meme? Those things get shared and pretty soon they skip like stones across the waves of the internet and you just have these little happy visions of things. But I like to think that we're friends on Facebook. You know, he consults with me regularly. There's one of those pieces that's making the rounds here lately, and it's the Vatican's release of the news that the Pope has declared a year of mercy. And so he's designated a certain Friday of each month where he deliberately and consciously spends time with people who have suffered. And sometimes the suffering has been pretty horrific. It was, I think, this month, August, that the Pope took time on a Friday to be with Holocaust survivors. Took time with them and heard their stories. Took time and expressed regret over how they had been treated or how others had stood by and failed to advocate and take seriously their care for them. And then he shared a blessing from the scriptures that they shared, from the Hebrew Testament. Words that both knew together. This month, the Pope visited another group of extraordinary people. He visited 20 women from 6 different countries, and all of them prostitutes. All of them victims of human trafficking. The video was carefully and artfully done in such a way that their faces weren't shown in the pictures. I suppose to preserve the dignity of their identity. Not one more way for them to be exploited on the internet. No further judgment that the rest of us would have on them. But the Pope listened to their stories. This papal papa apologized for the way that so many Christians had treated these women, how they had been used and ignored. And then the Pope, so unlike many other men who had done so before, the Pope touched them, blessed them, and he promised them all that he would not forget them, that he would advocate for them and all the women caught in the same kind of nightmare in their own lives. Is the Pope your friend on Facebook? Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And when he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. Bent over by a spirit. What are we to make of that? An evil spirit, some demonic presence, something that would oppress, something that would compromise her. We have these same spirits, I think, today, spirits that contaminate our communities and infect our relationships, spirits of entitlement, spirits of cruelty or ignorance or bigotry. Yeah, we got spirits too. Spirits of poverty and its partner, disease. Spirits that make it hard to live together. In my Bible at home, I like to use highlighters and markers and stuff, so I have squiggles and lines, and for me, that is my prayer life. I've got a jar with, I bet, 10 different colors of highlighters and Sharpies and stuff. And if you were to peek in my Bible, my personal Bible, you'd see things circled and notes in the margins. That's how I pray. That's how I wrestle with God. Here in this chapter, in Luke 13, I have marks. I have marks and arrows that are yellow and blue and pink. And this time around, I found myself drawing on the verbs that Luke uses to describe Jesus' actions that day. Do you remember what they were? Jesus saw her. Now, if you've been watching, that's about the fourth time now that in Luke's gospel, Jesus sees a woman, right? I wonder, did anybody else see her? Maybe bent over like that, nobody wanted to see her. You were just rather look away. And somehow, he saw this woman. Maybe like the woman at Fred Meyer with that cardboard sign that she's looking for a handout, looking for money, looking for help. Maybe like that guy in a walker or a wheelchair or that child with a tube inserted down her throat to keep her breathing. There's people you and I don't want to look at, right? Well, then what? Jesus called her over, it says. Now, Luke didn't seem to keep track of her name, and we don't know it, but did Jesus know her name? He called her over. Did he say just, hey, you? Hey, you bent lady? How did he treat her? And then Jesus says to her, you are free from your ailment. Set free, it says. Which is kind of interesting because Luke, instead of using a word related to curing or making well or making whole, words that are suggestive of healing and medicine, he uses a different kind of verb. Luke talks about liberation, that she is set loose, that she is made free. Language borrowed from a different part of our life together, maybe a sociological sort of word that Jesus would choose. Well, then finally, what's the last verb that Luke uses to describe Jesus' action toward this human being? This one scorned and ignored, this one broken and unacceptable. Luke says that Jesus laid his hands on her, that he touched her, and he, of course, broke all the rules by doing that, especially the rules that organize how Sabbaths are supposed to go. In that touch of God, Jesus, this physical, this bodily, this incarnate presence of God, there's new life, and there's transformation, there's restoration. She was bent over, but now she's standing up straight. And I wonder if, you know, here she is, like this most of her life, and now she's standing up straight, and she sees you, and she sees you. What do you think she would do? I mean, if it was me, well, you were one of them. Wouldn't there be that temptation to sort of dish it out? What does the Bible say about the woman? She immediately began to praise God. Maybe it wasn't just the woman who got healed that day. Maybe it was everybody. Maybe they all straightened up. Maybe they all saw each other again for the first time. Do you think?